Let's pray as we stand. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the Bible. We thank you that it takes us right into your truth, your life. And Lord, sometimes we don't find it straightforward to understand, but we know your word is life. And so we pray now, help us by your Spirit to learn more, to believe more, to follow you more closely. Amen. Do take a seat. As I was reading this reading that we've just heard Caroline read to us, I was imagining someone this morning coming to church without any idea of the Christian faith, no idea at all. In a sense, that's the first thing, the reading is the first thing they hear. And they hear how Jesus says to his disciples, things might be difficult for you now, but they will get a lot worse. In fact, they will draw you and drag you in front of the councils and the kings. They will accuse you. They will beat you. All because you follow me. But don't worry. Just tell the good news to everyone. Wow. I think we could understand if our visitor is thinking, this Christian faith has a serious marketing problem. Doesn't sound very attractive, does it? So, let's listen in to the meeting of a marketing agency trying to rebrand Christianity. We'll call them Adam and Eve. And if you think that's funny, I've looked up the biggest marketing agencies in the world. Adam and Eve is the third largest marketing agency in the world. So I haven't made that one up. Right. I think we're agreed that the cross has to go. Which person in their right mind would want an instrument of torture as their logo? Honestly. Any suggestions, please? Manger, yeah, good try, but a bit twee. Heart, too generic, I'm afraid. Well, let's come back to this point later, shall we? Next up, we will have to rename the founder of this religion. I mean, most people only know his name as a swear word these days. Any ideas? The man. Nice try, but I'm afraid it's going to alienate half of the world's population. So that's not going to fly. Anything else? The boss. I like it. The boss. Oh, I'm just being told that apparently Bruce Springsteen has copyrighted this one, so we can't use that one. Okay, moving on. Now, the message. Obviously, the gory and negative stuff has to go. First of all, this crucifixion business. We'll keep the fluffy things. Some of the stories that Jesus told actually were quite nice. Like the lost sheep. That's a nice one. What's that, Sarchi? Oh, I like it. I like your thinking. I think we have a proposal. Logo. A fluffy sheep. Name of the founder, the shepherd. Or even better, the good shepherd. Apparently that's what he called himself. What's that, Ogilvy? He said what? The good shepherd lays his life down for his sheep. Oh, here we go again. Obviously, I made this one up. But you can see how rebranding Christianity would be really tough. In fact, whenever people have tried it over the last 2,000 years, it was a flop. And the Christian faith lost its way and its power to make a difference in this world, to change lives. We can't have Christianity, we can't have Jesus Christ without the cross. It just doesn't work. Because the cross stands at the center of history, the crossroads, if you like, of history. It is where God deals with all that is dark and messed up in our world. Where Jesus, the sinless, perfect man, takes all our sins upon himself so we don't have to face the consequences. It's where he takes on even death itself and comes out victorious when he rises from the dead 3 days later. That's why we have baptized Bailey into the death and resurrection of Jesus earlier. All the words that you've said as church family, as parents and as godparents, they resonate this, what we call good news of Jesus' death and resurrection. That's why we pray that Bailey will know Jesus as his friend as he grows up. Because Jesus' death means freedom from guilt, freedom from fear, even fear of death. It means the freedom to know God as our Father, to love other people selflessly, and to be changed. The power to become who God wanted us to be in the first place, bit by bit by bit. That message was so powerful 2,000 years ago that even hardships and persecutions didn't stop his followers from spreading it. And it's as powerful today. The Apostle Paul, also known as St. Paul, was one of the people spreading this message. In fact, he played on both sides. When he was younger, he played on the side of the opponents of this new faith. And then he changed sides. Our reading talks about how Christians will be dragged before the councils and kings. Before St. Paul met the risen Lord Jesus, he was a persecutor of Christians. He did everything he could do to have them locked up, to stop them spreading this newfangled message. But then Jesus appeared to him so powerfully that he was knocked off his horse. That was his road to Damascus experience. It made Paul a powerful witness for Jesus. He now played on the other side. He was now dragged before councils and kings as the testimony to them, as our reading says. Paul says in his letters that he was overjoyed that whenever he was dragged in front of powerful people, it gave him the chance to speak to them about Jesus. Because it doesn't matter whether you are a shelf stacker or a high flyer. No one who wants to live life in all its fullness as God intended it can ignore Jesus. In John's gospel, he says, "I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And so this unpromising bunch of followers took Jesus' message and spread it all around the Roman Empire, and then to India, to Northern Europe, to Britain, to America, to the ends of the earth. Because that was his commission to them in his famous last words when he said, "All authority, all power in heaven and on earth is given to me. Therefore, go make disciples of all nations and baptize them." One day, Jesus will come back to put things right once and for all. In fact, our reading today is very clear that this won't happen until the good news has been proclaimed to all nations. In spite of all the communication revolutions of the last 2,000 years, books and printing and TV and the internet, we're not there yet. people need to know about Jesus and his good news. Jesus has given us a job to do. And in parts of the world, our country included, we need to tell this good news of Jesus afresh to a young generation now growing up, because they know very little about Jesus and his good news. Some of them truly only know him as a swear word. Others have written off this good news, that we can be free from guilt, that we can change and love selflessly. But you know, when they see someone whose life has been changed by Jesus, who lives out this good news, they may well reconsider, as they did when they met St. Paul. We are the carriers of this good news. We are the embodied good news of Jesus as we live our lives. Recently, I watched the movie The Case for Christ. You can watch it on some of the streaming services. The Case for Christ tells the true story of Chicago Tribune journalist Lee Strobel. Lee Strobel was a full-on atheist, and then disaster struck in his eyes because his wife became a Christian. Shock, horror. And in an attempt to show her the error of her ways, he, the investigative journalist, began to investigate the Christian faith and whether there might be reasons to believe in Jesus. And his own investigation and the prayers of many people, including his wife, led to him eventually becoming a follower of Jesus himself. When the armistice was declared just after 5 o'clock in the morning on the 11th of November, 1918, it took 6 more hours before the weapons fell silent. 6 more hours before the good news of the armistice reached the far ends of the different war zones, the different fronts, until the last soldier knew that at 11 o'clock, the weapons will fall silent. In fact, there were 2,738 more deaths on that day, just on the Western Front. The last soldier killed in the Great War was a US sergeant who charged at a German machine gun crew. They shouted at him to go back, the war was over, but he kept charging, and so they shot him. It was 10:59 a.m. We have heard the good news that the enemy has been beaten, that Jesus has won the victory over sin, darkness, and death. But we must carry this good news to everyone. There's lots of people who have not heard, who don't know, who keep fighting senseless fights. We know that peace is now possible because of Jesus' death and resurrection. Stop fighting. You can have peace with God, with others, with yourself. And then one day, Jesus will return and all fighting will stop. Today, when we receive the bread and the wine to remember Jesus' death for us, we are a motley crew. Look around you. A motley crew loved by God, rich and poor, people born in different parts of this country and different countries, Brexiteers and Remainers. But all that pales into insignificance because we have heard Jesus' call, follow me, and we belong to him. We surrender our personal agendas to Jesus' agenda. We follow the way of the cross, dying to ourselves so we can receive the new indestructible life that only Jesus can give. That is a hope that our world desperately needs. And if you want that hope, you can begin the journey with Jesus today. Amen.